I think I asked you this before, but I want to know, what is the last puzzle of Kedoshim doing there? Because last puzzle of Kedoshim seems to be like adding in something as if like...
Yeah, that's right. I know you asked me that question, and I thought of that question before, but I really never... I never pursued it. Let's just take a look over there. Yeah. That's a good guy. Now, it seems like completely out of place.
Right.
Completely out of place. But, because it gets it also as a guy, right? Oh, I see, I see. Yeah. So, the reason is like this, because, you see, the parasha ends after the Arias, okay? So, after the Arias, this is the whole parasha, Kedoshim. So you have, what do you have? So you have Avodah Zarah and Arias, right? And Avodah Zarah and Arias, yeah, they have a lot of, you know, Ikrei Torah. But then it says like this, it says, Lo selchu b'chukas agoy, Hashani meshlech menechem, right? So then it says, then it says, so in other words, this apparently, the last pasuk, is really showing you one of the most powerful emotions that underline that's the chukas hagai. And that is the oven yidoni. Now, what is the oven and yidoni? The oven yidoni, if I remember correctly, is the, what do you call it, they use those things to, tell the future?
Yeah, the Rambam.
Yeah, right. And also communicate with the dead.
What?
To predict the future and communicate with the dead. The Balas Ov, like from Shmuel.
Necromancer.
See here? Rabbi?
Yes, the necromancer, right. So that's like Ramban says in the beginning. That one of the main thing is that Kol Divrayim, all their all the things that they do, Lachol Maaseihem, should be Ketohu VeEfes. That's what the Ramban says, right? Remember? So the Ramban says it. So what it means is, so it means that you cannot cater to the. In other words, the Ov and Yedoni. What is the Ov and Yedoni? The Ov and Yedoni is this is really the most difficult thing in the Torah. That a person, a human being, has a certain reality that's set forth in his mind by his emotions. It's a very powerful type of thing. Like fears. People have tremendous fears, and they want to know the future. They want to be able to protect themselves, and they're looking for those protective kind of measures and devices. And what happens is. That therefore they're led into these beliefs, and in a whole belief system which they maintain as reality, they project onto reality. Now, once if man can't overcome those underlying emotions and fears, and he can't accept reality, the God-given reality of this existence, which is primarily a reality of causality. And Ashgach, of course, also, but the person must accept the reality of causality. So then they're gonna make recourse to the Oven Yedoni. They're gonna make recourse to the Oven Yedoni. The Oven Yedoni is the thing that gives them that emotional security. That is really the most difficult, as far as I'm concerned, I think it's the most difficult demand of the Torah. Very, very difficult. And that's why you see people start looking for these little things and these little, segulas. There's little segulas. They look for these protective type things because everybody wants to be protected. But the truth of the matter is that that's against the philosophy of Yahadis. Yahadis does not protect a person from life, and it's a scary thing. I mean, a lot of times people think, well, I'll be a great tzaddik, and they'll use tzidkus as a means of, well, then I'll be protected. But the Torah doesn't say that either, because you see, by Yaakov Avinu, you're not going to be bigger than him. But look at what a difficult life he has. Look at Rachel. Rachel, the greatest tzaddikus, and she died young, and she couldn't have kids, and then she had one kid, and she had another child, and she died in childbirth, a young woman. I mean, there's no such thing, and Yahadis does not guarantee a person a good existence here. I mean, the type of existence that everybody is looking for, no matter how great a tzaddik you are. And like Sadie Glaim points out, you know, the Nevi'im got killed. I mean, Nevi'im were killed by, I mean, they weren't protected. There, a person cannot, in this life, the Torah demands that a person cannot look for that kind of security, and there is no place, an amazing thing, and there's no place that he could really achieve it, even within the system. In other words, even if the person is the biggest tzaddik, there's still no guarantee as to what's going to happen here. So therefore, this is something which the Torah demands, and the Oven Yedoni represents the opposite lifestyle. So that's why it says, Ish Kiyabam Ovi Yedoni, like it's a private thing they keep in the house, in order to protect them and to know the future and to protect them, and that kind of a thing is a denial of Kalatarkula. It's a denial of Kalatar Kula, but it's something which is the most powerful force. There's no question about it. The most powerful force in man that causes him, he can't accept the reality of the causal system that exists, and the sea of events that every person finds their lives are subject to, and you simply can't escape it. And man looks for an escape. I mean, looks for an escape from that. And the Torah does not give any escape, even if you're the greatest tzaddik. That is the most difficult thing. So the Torah recognizes, that's why I would say it's at the end of the parsha, because the Torah says, Kadoshim to you, and therefore, Kikadosh Oni. But you have to remember that itself also cannot be done for the purpose of gaining that security that everybody's looking for. You see? So that's why it ends off. It was Sechel Chukas Agoy, the whole synopsis. Was Sechel Chukas Agoy, and Shani Meshlechman Nechem, okay, then the Yisrael Kedoshim, there's Daltem, Benebe Matur, Latmeo, so that means that the system of Chachma and the Chachma that takes place, the Kedusha that takes place through logical differentiation, through knowing the difference, the halachas over there, and the difference between Behemoth Torah and Tameo, and guiding your life according to the logical formula of Yaradea, basically. And then the Eastonly Kedoshim, Kedoshani Hashem, Vavdoschem, and Amlius Li. But that's true. That's the only guarantee that you have. That's all God gives. He doesn't give more. Vavdil, Eastonly Kedoshim, Kedoshani, that you can do. You can achieve that level. And then Vavdlis Chem and Amun Liyafli, that much you can have, but the private security, you can't. That's why Ishu give them over Yedoni Mosu Masu. It means to say that if they can't accept this, but they're looking for something more, then that's why they get the Oven Yedoni, so then they're Chayav Misa.
Rebbe?
Yeah.
If this is the case, in what manner should we view Ashrei V'Toblach and Oruch Yaman Be'emina or Oshu V'Kali B'Smola?
Yeah, I mean, no, that's true. There's no question. You see, all those things, you have to understand, all those things are the same thing like Karis. In other words, Karis, you say that a person that's in Russia is going to die young, or die at 52. Okay? Does that mean that a tzaddik doesn't die at 52? Shmuel Navi died at 52. Okay? Does it mean that if a person is a really evil person, that he's not going to live to be 90? What Taisa says, where we see many Rishoyim die in their beds peacefully at an old age, you know? So how do you explain that? So the answer is that it is true. It's a factor. There is such a factor. But in other words, it is a variable. All those things are variables, but are they guaranteed in particular instances? No. But it says the Orecha Mina Osher Orecha. I'm supposed to say Orecha Mina B'Smola Osher V'Chavar. Right? That's true. You see, Rabbi Akiva was Gemara says Rabbi Akiva was an Asher for six different ways that he became an Asher, and the Nevi'im were Asher. That is true, but those are factors. They're elements, and they exist, and they are real, but they're only variables. In other words, those are, they're true variables, but other things can always come into mixture so that the equation doesn't really reflect that one variable. You see, that's basically what Yahadus teaches. Of course, Ashrecha V'Tovlach means, absolutely, a person, this I've mentioned many times, that a person that lives the life of Torah has an internal enjoyment and satisfaction that nobody else in the world can have. That's why I always say, one day the life of only Gayan is more powerful, much more enjoyable than the whole life of Russia. So these things, that's true. That's Ashrecha V'Tovlach L'Olam Haba. That's correct. All these things are true. Certainly the ones that are by nature true, like the fact that the enjoyment of Chachma, what does Rabban say? Ein Simcha Katar Sefekis, there's no enjoyment like that. Even on a psychological plane, it's the greatest, most enjoyable life. It's a life of constant adventure and pleasure and enjoyment and satisfaction, and makes a person feel good and gives a person a certain well-being and happiness. There's no question about that. That's an internal phenomenon. But even the external ones, even the external phenomenon, which means that this external brachas that a person is zochet to, yes, it's true, but there are a lot of variables. What does Chazal say? That the Vayeshev Yaakov, Veretz Megur Yavez, Bikesh Yaakov Leishev B'Shalva. So he was an old man already. He wanted to have a little peace and quiet, sit and learn, and think. I mean, that's what he wanted to do. But it was Koftel of Rogzil Shel Yosef. But that wasn't the way it was supposed to be. Well, Gosh Baruch Hu says Tzadikim L'Dayon, that they have Olam Haba, but they want Olam Hazeh too. So that means to say that the Hashgacha makes the final decision about the various phenomena and the events that the person finds themselves in. And there is no way for a person to have the satisfaction that they're looking for, that every human being basically looks for, which is simply to have a good life. I mean, to have health, and to have financially a certain amount of security, and to have a good family, and to have a good life, and even mean to learn. To this people, that's something that even people on a high level look for that kind of a guarantee. You look for that. The person wants that. It's a natural person should want it. But the person has to remember, and all the brachas are variables in a big equation. But you cannot, in specific, you can never say what person, no matter how big a tzaddik he is, what the outcome is going to be for his life. Or conversely, a Russia also, we don't know, because... What does they say? He says, Shema Yeshlem Shema Schus. That the guy could be the worst Russia, but we don't know. I mean, only God knows. Maybe he has some kind of a schus. And also, it's Latardom and Olam to take him away from the opportunity of having Olam Haba and having a claim to Olam Haba. And, that's something which a person must accept. I mean, they must. The person must really subordinate that his desire. And that's what Chazal says. It says, "Batel ritzoncha mipnei ritzono." So you have a will, you want certain things, but a person has to be able to involve his raton. And Oven Yedoni is the representation of the following your own will. That's what it means. It means you want that security, and you need it, and therefore you have to have this kind of a thing. That's why the system of Yahadus is not enough for you. So that's why the end of the parsha, where it says what the bracha of Iskadishim Yisrael, doesn't say anything. Iskadishim Yisrael Kadoshim Ki Kadosh Ani. So that means that if you're Kadosh, then you're close to God. Okay, that means that the Tzelem Elokim is you're functioning in a way that you're imitating the Creator on a human level. So that's guaranteed. And v'avdulachem and anam liyosli, that you're muvdol, you're mufrash, and you have a different destiny, but that is as a klal. As a matter of fact, now you see, now that I'm thinking about it, you see the psukim really are perfect. Why? Because v'adlachem and amliosli means that God is giving his special ashgacha to this nation, which is true. But a yachid, a yachid has no guarantee. That's why it says the ish o isha ki yibem ovo yidoru moshi masu. It means that the private security God does not grant. Security for Klal Yisroel, yes. That vavlas from an only isli. But if it's that's not enough, and the isho isha have the yidoni in order to ensure what the klal has, the hashgach of the klal for the yachid, then they're chayav misa. Then they're chayav misa. It's an amazing, it's an amazingly demanding system. There's no question about it. I mean, Yahadus makes tremendous demands. Tremendous demands on the emotions of, and the aspirations of man. Tremendous demands. But that's the system. The system is MS, and the only thing you have in return is that you're living a life of MS. But it fits in perfectly, actually, because now I see there's a juxtaposition where it says Vadlus Hanam Liosli is the klal, but the Isha is the Yochid. The Yochid can't take this fact that there's no guarantee for the Yochid, so then it's Moshe Maso.
The Chazal you just quoted about the it says Yivat the return of the return echa.
Right.
The other half of that contradicts your point.
Because Yivat, yeah. No, it doesn't. No, of course it means like this. It's Bat el return chum ne return o. So therefore what? So therefore you subordinate yourself to God's will. Which means to say that he will the thing is like this, the God that we believe in is a God that doesn't give the person a certain type of emotional security that they're looking for, and that's why people go for avodah zarah. Why? Because a person is looking, for someone to be merachim on him. But and we say Hashem Hashem kel racham achanas that yigimul midos. But you could never identify the source of that rachmanis that you're looking for. I mean, a person looks for human rachmanis, so he understands it and he sees that somebody's merachim on him, so he feels secure, he feels good, he understands what that is. But we have a very, very difficult challenge. The challenge is that we say that God is merachim, but yet you can never look for any source which will give you a satisfying feeling of rachmanis, because God is unknowable, simply unknowable. There is nothing you can attach yourself to that will give you this security of God being merachim. Okay? Kerachim of Abanim, that's true. But you cannot find in the knowledge of God immediately demands that you have to abandon any kind of search for a source. So it's a very, 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 very difficult, very, very difficult, challenging thing. That's why the eagle. I mean, that's why Avodah Zarah is such a powerful force. I mean, the guy in in Christianity. I mean, you see it clearly. The statements they make that's exactly what they're looking for. When they say that their Yezel, loves them, I mean that's what they're looking for. They're looking for a human thing that they could associate with and identify, and therefore they can feel that security. That's exactly why they say that, and that is no doubt the biggest selling point of the religion. But Yahadus demands that you cannot engage in such thoughts. On the contrary, if a person does, he's denying the Yigimli Karim, and he's over to Vodazar, he's not Bechal Yisrael, he's Russia, he's Mitzvah Abdul Asanon. It's a horror. I mean, this itself, if nothing else, shows you the amitus of Yahadis, because every religion wants to win adherents. So they always sell them something that they'll like. And over here, Yahadis really, by denying these things, Yahadis really made itself something which people are going to have to find, they're going to have to reject. Most people are not going to be able to tolerate it. That's why I say it is a tremendous, tremendous demand. But Yahadus doesn't give a person the emotional false satisfactions. I mean, it just gives them the MS. So the thing is that God, our God, we know he has Rachmanis. You can't have any satisfaction of identifying any And if a person tries to, so then he's basically denies the Kol Torah Kula. He's a min. He's not pekaris. But the person has to know at the same time that such rahmanas exists, not only exists, but it really is the greatest rahmanas, greater than any kind of rahmanas that we could imagine. But that's an abstraction. That's an abstract idea that the person has to attach himself to, has to accept. And that idea is so. The reason is because, not because God doesn't interact with this world. No, He does. But since He is so above us, we have no way, we cannot know how He's doing it. We have no idea of how He's doing it. We don't understand it. But we only know that it's there. So therefore, that's the chant. That's what it means. Batel Ritzonocho Mitnei Ritzono, Kadei Shivat Ritzono Mitnei Ritzonecho. Means to say that God will repay the person on a higher plane. In other words, what does it mean, Shivat Ritzono? It means, for instance, that there are laws of nature. That's God's Ritzon. That's God's will. But if a person is Mevatel his will and subordinates himself to God's will, then God will subordinate his will, meaning the teva, for your will, which means that the compensation will be in a greater quality, a much greater quality, you see, even though it's something invisible and unknowable. That's what the memory means. Okay? It means you lose your own base emotional desire and will. If you give that up, then you're in the world of Ashgacha. So God is mevatel with His will. His will means his will is referring to the Teva. So the Teva, He will interfere with the Teva in order that you should receive His bracha. Okay? In order that you should receive His bracha. And that you know one thing, that you will be blessed to a far greater degree than you were before. Will you be able to, can you identify it and have real accurate knowledge of it? The answer is no. And that's what I mentioned a long time ago. Remember the Chazal where they were taking out one of the Tanayim to be killed. I forgot which one it was. Taking him out to be killed, and the guy said, look at you, you're such a big tzaddik, look what's happening to you, and I'm a Russia, and I'm healthy, riding on a horse, and I've covered and everything. So he said, that's why he said to me, he says that, im la'ose ritzono, he said both ways, he said, im la'over ritzono kach, so la'ose ritzono lachat kama v'chama. He says, no, you're making a mistake, because you are showing me a person that's a Russia that has a good, but the truth of the matter is that's a kalvachoma. That means that I will have it good in a way that's qualitatively differentiated, and vice versa. That if I, who am Ose Ritzono, receive this onish, could you imagine the onish that you'll receive? So that means to say that you cannot show black on white the schar v'onish, but you can know that it is real and that it exists, and that's what you have this demand. Tremendous demand. Yeah.
This would be to me it seems like a contradiction, because now you're saying that a person will have a greater good from this case where they bring out this tzaddik for his death, and he was certain that he was going to get something good. But
right.
Before you were saying that it's not true, it's not only for the personal, in certain cases it could be, but there's variables in the equation. So which way is it?
What do you mean, let me ask a question again.
Before you were saying it's variables in the equation, and it's true, it's ashrecha v'tov lach, but it doesn't mean in every case you're going to see it.
Right.
Now you're saying this rabbi was being taken out, the tzaddik, to be killed, and he was certain that he was going to get something greater. It wasn't a doubt in his mind. He didn't say there were variables and maybe I'm going to have better or maybe I'm not.
Oh, okay. The answer is very simple. The answer is, in one case, we're discussing the good that exists in the physical world. That's the identifiable good. That's one case. That's the case where we were saying that those are the variables. Okay, that even on a basic level, these things lead to brachas, but then there are variables. Okay, Now, on the other Maamar Chazal is talking about the ultimate good. The ultimate good is always going to be infinitely greater for the tzaddik. Okay? And actually, both, it's not contradictory, but both work hand in hand. Because that's what the Chazal say. Bikei Shiakov Leshe V'Shalva. So he wanted to relax. I mean, not to relax. I mean, but to learn and, you know, and to have an opportunity not to be bothered, not to be disturbed. To be able to learn with a clear mind and think and engage in the Vua. So he really, that's what he wanted. But what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu say? No. He said that Tzadikim L'dayin Sheyesh Lem Olam Haba. Elohim Ratzim Olam Hazeh. Ratzim Olam Hazeh says, no, that's not the way it is. Which means to say that all those variables came into the picture in order that he should be able to deserve a greater ultimate good. You see? So the ultimate good is really that which is behind the variables. Okay, so in other words, if a person's ultimate good, in order to be achieved, it requires a certain kind of events, so then that's going to break the general rule that if a person does such and such, he gets such and such a bracha. But it doesn't mean that that's not true. It's true under all things being equal, whatever Chazal say, if a person does such and such a thing, he gets the zochah to such and such. That's true. But that is true, all things being equal. But the ultimate decision is God's decision, and that and what's taken into account over there is the ultimate good of man. So the ultimate good of man can override many times the variable. And the same thing is true with the Russia. That basically the idea of Karis is true. That a person that's high of Karis dies at a young age. That's his onish. Because the onish is in line with the nature of his crime. It means to say that a person until he's in his 50s is really basically pretty much a physical existence. But after the age of 50, what does Rashi say? Rashi says after the age of 50, the is by Levim, he says that it's kocho holech v'toshash. Body gets progressively weaker. So that really is a time that when the body gets weaker, it's like Socrates said that when the eye of the body gets weak, the eye of the mind gets strong. So really, the chacham is most powerful. His prime is in his older years, because the mind does not get weaker, and all the experiences and all the knowledge and all the chachmah is accumulated over the years. So by the time he reaches, well, zikna chazal say is 60, but even before, it means it's from 50. From that time on, that's really his prime. That's really the prime of his life. That's why vadata panei zaken, ein zaken zesha kana chachma. But why is the literal translation an old man? Because that really is the prime of the life of the Chacham. But the person who is the Rasha, whose whole existence is the instinctual and the physical, so his prime is over at 50, basically. He's at it. Now he'll spend the rest of his life trying to prevent the deterioration of his body and the deterioration of his instincts and his instinctual satisfaction. So therefore, really, that kind of a life doesn't belong to a person of Russia. It only belongs to a tzaddik. So the onus of Karis is very much in line with the whole idea of Yehadis, that what human life is. So for the Russia, there's no sense for him to stick around there for a certain amount of time. But for the tzaddik, on the contrary, that's his prime. So that's why it says, Ogenuvan Deseva, Deshenev Rananim Yiyu. So, there's two, man is made up of two components. There's the physical, and then there's the part which is the life of the soul. So, the life of the soul reaches its height in the later years. But the life of the body, of course, starts deteriorating in the later years. So that's why the ownership of cars is really very is a philosophical idea. And it's true, and it's just that way. But it doesn't necessarily mean it's always going to happen that way in particular. Because sometimes, like the Gemara Chazal say, that God repays the Russia. I mean, the Pasuk says, you repay Meshalim Lasonov Apanu Avida. That God pays him back to destroy him so that he has no claim at all in the next world. So he pays them back in this world.
Yeah, so Rashi on the...
Yeah, we one time went through it, right.
On the Mizmor LeShabbos.
That's right. On what?
Mizmor Shel Yom HaShabbos, Tehillim Chaftet, I think.
Yeah.
Rashi or the Radak explains that pshat.
On which pasuk?
On Tehillim, where he talks about... Lavidim... What's the pasuk? I'm trying to remember what the exact words were.
Oh, I know.
Lavidim Adayad.
Oh, the Lozdamadayad. Lozdamadayad.
Right,
Lozdamadayad.
That's a pshat of
that. That's right, yeah. But it means to say, I think we want to explain, I'm not naming you now, I think we want to explain that pshat to mean that, that God does not allow the Russia to claim even that that it was unjust, because God answers everyone according to their framework.
Right.
But even the Russia will have to matzik as a din and say he had this one schus, one mitzvah. But God will say, well, I paid you back. Here's what you got.
So just to clarify, to just make sure I understand the answer to the question. So in terms of the ultimate good, I mean, Olam Haba, that's something which just tzaddik was being taken out to kill. He was certain of, because that's a higher good, that is definitely paid back. But in terms of a physical good in this world,
right,
like a shrech of a total, things like that, it is true, but there are other variables.
That's correct.
So anything which has to do with the person's ultimate good, then we're certain that he's going to...
That's right.
Even in the physical world, too? Because now you have a question about, let's say a person has something which he should, which if he gets in this world, it enables him to learn more, like, you know, Yaakov wanted.
Yeah, but learning more is not necessarily perfection. That's the mistake people make.
I see.
People think that you could put perfection into a simple package. Learning is not necessarily perfection. Some of the worst Rishoyim were Bilam Danim. Worst Rishoyim. As a matter of fact, they could be worse than everybody else. So the fact that a person learns is no guarantee of, I mean, Chazal say, Doga Domi, Achitofim will learn very well. Shimi ben Gera was Shlom Noach's Rebbe. The big Talmid of Chachamim that were very big Rishayim. So there's no guarantee. It's not such a simple thing that just learning is a guarantee for tzidkus. Perfection is learning. Learning is an essential component. It's a sine qua non. You can't do without it. But if you have it, it does not necessarily mean that you are perfected.
And perhaps you have the structure this way because if it is a guarantee that you get something because you're living the right life, that may subvert the real objective that you should have.
Right. That's correct. The perfection is really the last parak in Hilchos Teshuvah in the Rambam. That's perfection. If a person learns the Shema and is engaged in Yedias Hashem, that's perfection. But that's something which we maintain, and that's what I said in one of the Shurim recently, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Malamed. And it means that God, Yasor Yisrani Kov Lamavat HaNasanani. It means Otcha Kanisani Vatil Yeshua. So it means to say that God, through setting up the variables, really perfects an individual. But it doesn't necessarily mean that the person will always be able to learn better. I mean, sometimes a person is just as engaged in learning Shelo Lishma. It's on the contrary. So we know that learning really has no value. So it's better be better if a person learned an hour a day Lishma than if he learned all day Shalom Lishma. I mean, but, you know, Chazal say mitzvah Shalom Lishma, so therefore, you know, the proper approach is always to learn. But the fact is that... right, that's correct. Yeah, what Thomas mentioned is that... That's right. That's the 22 years that he suffered... And then the other things, I mean, it's only one of the things. I mean, as we said, Shaddai, Yom Adai L'Tarosai. So, Shem Shem Alolam Dai. So the God that determined the quantity of the universe, the quantitative factor, should quantify my Taurus. So, it's an amazing Chazal, because it's only very, very recently that they discovered scientifically how important that quantitative factor is in terms of the whole universe, in terms of the mass of the universe. But, I mean, that's how Chazal understood. I mean, Rashi is quoting Chazal. Shaddai, I'm not saying, you're not allowed to say Shah, because then it's Shem Hashem, but Sheh, you can say Sheh, or you can say Shakai. But Shaddai is really that Shem Hashem is really Shomal Olam Dai. I mean, that's what Yaakovina was Mespal. But the that's true. I mean, so you see, everything isn't simply learning, because all the things that he lived through, that he went through, really were what to perfect him. That's what Chazal say, that they want both worlds. Both worlds you can't have. I mean, you cannot say that you cannot have them. It's absolutely impossible, but it means to say, I mean, because you see, and Elsa mentions, most of them have really very good lives. If you look at the lives, there's no comparison. Most of them really have very, very good lives, on a physical way, everywhere. But the thing is that that's what Chazal is saying, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu has to be done, each yachid, each individual, and in terms of their perfection and their level and their potential and their capability, and if something, certain untoward events have to take place in their life in order to raise them a higher level, then that's it. Then that overrides the general principles, general rules. But it's not just learning. That's correct. Even though he couldn't learn then, but he gained higher perfection. But that's the Oven Yedoni. Oven Yedoni is the the personal security, the yachid. So it's very beautiful that a pasuk really goes from the tzibur to the yachid. The tzibur has a guarantee. That's why the Rev one time said that when a person is spal on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, that Chazal say a person is meshatif himself with the tzibur. So he says that you should not be mespal on your own chusim, because he says a yachid can only say tzidek adin. That's it. But you have to mispalel on the insofar as you're an integral part of the tzibur. That's the that's where a person's real chus makes a difference. So that's a different kind of a tefillah. And that's the only successful tefillah. But a tefillah for a yachid is very difficult. Difficult. I'm not saying it's impossible, it's very difficult. What does Chazal say? Chazal say a person's not answered, a yachid's tefillah's not answered. Alim kain sam nafsho b'chapo. Means his whole essence is tied up in it. It's not answered. But by a tzibur is different. Tzibur is a different entity. And that's v'avdu eschem min ha'amim liyos li. So that is a separate kind of haftacha. But the yachid doesn't have that. If the yachid starts, realizes he doesn't have it, he starts searching for over Yudoni, that's Moshe Yamas. Tremendous demand. Tremendous demand.
Ready?
Yeah.
Last Shabbos you were explaining why David Melch has to refer to his enemies as Shorai.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really quite understand exactly why. I didn't really understand your answer. I was wondering if you'd be willing to go through that again.
Okay. But the Beit Eni Bishuroi, you have in Mizmah Shel Yom HaShabbos, and then you have Al Tetenim Efsari, was it Luli Matlas, plus let's say, a lot of times you have it in Tom Shoroi. So what I explained is that it means to say that David HaMelech realized that he has a certain type of enemy that the average person doesn't have. In other words, the average person that is in the competitive world, so he has a competitive enemy, okay? You have two businessmen, so they're in competition. So one guy wants to destroy the other guy. That's a normal kind of enemy. But the a person that is a person that lives according to the Torah, in other words, a tzaddik, he's really usually not hated on that level. Because on that level, he's not really aggressive, and he's not really, a Russia, and he has certain standards. On the contrary, that's what Yaakovinu tell Esau. He says, tell Esau, Yaakov told Esau right away. He says, in love on Garti, and was I say, v'tayig mitzvah shamati, v'lolamati mimasa v'royim. Because he figured that Esau is going to figure that this guy was always a smart guy. He was the Yoshev HaHolam. And now he's there for 20 years with love on Arami. He learned all the tricks of the trade, and now the guy's going to really destroy me. Okay? So that's why he said, no. He says, no, and then loving Garti. But it was only Garti. It wasn't really living with hired Mr. Shamarti. So you don't have to worry about me in terms of being your competitor. But so on the contrary, so usually the Russia likes a tzaddik because he's kind of like right. he has him in a situation where he doesn't have to be concerned. I mean, it's kind of an unfair battle because the tzaddik is always going to go by the system of halacha and justice. And the Rush is not. So it's wonderful competition for him. Rush is very happy on that score. But but there's one thing that disturbs the Russia. A certain kind of Russia. And that's really the meat of a mullik. And that is that the guy can't stand that this guy has a certain satisfaction in life and he's out of the whole parsha. He's living a different kind. He frowns on and basically looks down upon the very life and motivation and essence of the existence of the of this competitive guy. He has something far, far greater. That bothers the real Russia. He can't stand the peace of the tzaddik. It's and the Russia is a certain kind of Russia that can't tolerate that thing. What? That's correct. And that's the philosophers recognize that too, and that's the famous story with Diogenes, where Alexander the Great said, what can I do for you? He says, just move out of the sunshine. You're blocking the sun. So Alexander the Great apparently didn't bother him. He wasn't that kind of a Russia. But a certain Russia would kill him. Because it means to say that you're saying my whole lifestyle is basically worthless. So that is a very difficult. Now, a certain kind of Russia, this deserves. Now, so what bothers him? What bothers that Russia is merely the sight of the tzaddik. You see, that's Beshuroi. What does Pasuk says? So for Russia, the tzaddik and mavake shamiso. The Russia looks at the tzaddik and wants to destroy him. His existence is what he can't tolerate. Yes, that's right. That's really anti-Semitism, basically. That's the whole anti-Semitism. The whole anti-Semitism can be summed up in that one kind. And a mullik represents the essence of anti-Semitism. But all anti-Semitism is that. It means they cannot tolerate the existence of such a people. That they're self-satisfied. They have their own way of thinking. They're happy with it. They have a system of chokhmah that's satisfying, gives them enjoyment, and they look down and frown upon the other lifestyle, the paganistic lifestyle. And they laugh at it, and they ridicule it in their hearts, and they know that it's absurd, and they know that they're blessed. That is what kills the Russia of the Amalek. So basically, that's what I said, that the Vatabetini Beshuroi means the word is very carefully chosen, because he's speaking about a person that is his enemy only because he looks at him, because he exists. So it means he had a different kind of, different type of enemy. Most people don't have that kind of enemy in the world. In the world, you have the competitive enemy. But it's an interesting thing, and this shows you, now that I think about it, it's a very interesting thing, because it always bothered me that why did Yaakov say in love on the Garti Vitagmata Shamati, Vlo Martin Masavaroyim, you'd think on the contrary, it's going to make him jealous that he kept Tayag Mitzvahs, you see? Apparently, Esav was not such a Russia. That's what it shows you. Apparently Yaakov knew that he was not that kind of a Russia. He was an aggressive guy. He was a Russia. He was over Isurim. He was a crude person, and he was a very instinctual type of individual, but he wasn't the kind of a guy that couldn't stand the existence of the tzaddik. That he wasn't. That didn't bother him. What he was afraid of was that he could enter his arena and take away his material world. That he couldn't tolerate. That's why I saw by the brachas, what happens is, that's why the Yitzhak HaLakim, Talashamayim, Mishmanei Oretz, the material brachas, then he went crazy. Because he wanted the material. And here Yaakov is competing with him in the material in his world. He didn't mind that Yaakov is Yosef Aholah. Never find that that didn't bother him. On the contrary, he was happy. Let him be Yosef Aholah. So that didn't bother him. But what bothered him was the fear of Yaakov moving into his sphere. He determined his sphere. But at least you see that he was a rational Russia. He wasn't to Russia like a really evil person. And it makes sense. Like Aaron Cutler said, he said, don't think that Esav, who saw Avram Avinu and who saw and Yitzchak and saw the people that were on such a level, saw the Ovis, was raised in the house of the Ovis. Don't think when Torah says in Russia that means he's Russia like you imagine a regular Russia. He says that's contrary to what Chazal say. And he was a very deep person. He made a decision in life about which way to go, but he wasn't an individual who could not tolerate a tzaddik. That would be impossible to be, I mean, unless it's completely abnormal, but you don't find it. But it would be impossible to be raised as grandfather's Avram and his father's Yitzchak and he can't tolerate a tzaddik? That didn't bother him. That didn't bother him. He said, you, that's your world, fine, but stay out of my world. So that's why he told him, really, he said, in love and garti, but tayig mit shemati, lalamati masaroy, I still keep my system.
How come when he sold Yaakov his b'chora at the end of the pasuk says va'yivez Esav et ha'b'chora?
No, that's correct. That's exactly what we're saying. In other words, the b'chora, which was avodas Hashem, so that he gave up for the material world. Va'yivez Esav et ha'b'chora. That's correct. That's in line with that Esav. He made his decision. That day he made his decision. He was torn between two sides, but it was saying that day he went out and he did five averas. So it means that day he made his decision. This is me, this is my life, I can't subordinate myself to that other kind of good. My good is the material good, and that was, he determined his world. And then that's exactly the story of the Bechorah, because the Bechorah was the one who's going to be the one that does Avoda. Says Vayiva, they said Bechorah. Bechorah wasn't important to him. Later, very close. Like Plato one time said, he says, like looking at an inscription. If you're close to the inscription, it looks big. If you're far away, it looks small. So that's the world of the emotions. It magnifies the thing because you're right in front of it now, so it looks bigger. But then 10 years down the line, see, you made a mistake. I mean, if President Clinton would have been able to see what a mistake that was with this Jones incident, I mean, I guarantee you, he has charot a million times. It's just not worth it. But at that time, the emotion is very powerful, and this taiva looks very great. So that's the problem. The Russian man made a bad decision. The scales weren't accurate. But that's basically the Russia's mistake. See, the Russia always has to make a mistake because all his decisions are based upon taivas, and the taivas are emotions, and emotions are of the moment. Emotions are not of the future. Person in the state of taiva, it's now. It's not 10 years from now. But then 10 years from now, he's in a situation where it's simply not worth it. It wasn't worth it. It's a big mistake. So, but too late. Can't undo it. That's Esav, basically. Vayivez Esav Sabachor, at that moment, the emotion of the hunger and the food and the taiva, I mean, the Bechorah wasn't worth it. Later he saw the Bechorah really has something else. The brachas of Mitzvah Shemayim Shemayim Arz go with that. Then he said, Vayakvini Zepamayim. Then he said that he blamed Yaakov, he fooled me, and now he's losing the material. So, but on the contrary, it shows you that his complaint against Yaakov was really the material world. It wasn't that he couldn't tolerate Yaakov being Yosher V'Holim. He's very happy. On the contrary, he's his brother. He felt that's his thing. He should be sitting and learning. I'm sure he would even support him and prompt him to learn. I mean, the problem was with the material. That was the problem, material world. If the brachas would have been worked out differently, so Esav personally, would not have been upset, but it could be that during his lifetime, I mean, he wouldn't even bother Yaakov. But the brachas couldn't be worked out that way because the Esav wasn't just Esav of Russia himself, but it was generations and generations of the future, and that wouldn't work out. So Mitzvah Shemayim Shemayim Arz had to belong to Yaakov. But you see that Esav was not that kind of Russian. That you see from the pasuk. He was very comfortable living with the tzaddik. It didn't bother him. Let him sit and learn. Wonderful.
Rebbe, you saw it also because you...
What?
Rebbe?
Yeah.
From a Russia until after Avram died, and he saw Avram doesn't guarantee the physical. And that's what he was looking for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's true. That was the day that, Mr. Ozzy's on the hand.
Rebbe, according to that, then, your explanation of Shorai, so what is David HaMelech referring to when he uses the term Oyev? What kind of an enemy is that?
Term what?
Oyev.
Oyev?
Yeah.
Yeah, Oyev, I mean, well, Oyev is a generic term.
I mean, there he's just talking in generic about an adversary or whatever.
Yeah, Oyev really means, Oyev is more of a term that has to do with the practical effects. I mean, a guy, you know, Oyev is an enemy. It's not describing the inner reasoning or motivation for the, anybody can be an Oyev. In other words, it's not going into why he hates you.
I see.
But Shurai is telling you why.
Thanks.
Good. So you have to see when and where the pasuk chooses which word. You know what I mean? Certain the shurai is appropriate. Other times, oh yeah. For instance, it says, "Va'yibahaniyach Hashem zav mikol oivav misavif." So it doesn't have to mention shurai, but it wants to tell you that he attained a certain state of peace from the enemy. So there, he's just talking about the fact that the guy had people had to destroy him. But it doesn't matter why. But Latabe Dini Bishuroi is a whole understanding of Rishus. That pasuk used that word because that word is appropriate for the ideas of the pasuk.
Thanks.
Okay.
Hey, Rebbe?
Yeah.
At one point, you wanted to say a new pshat and acher. Is there any chance we could get to that at some point?
I'm still working on it. That's a tough one. The acher is a very tough problem because it is impossible, virtually impossible to say that acher didn't believe in Torah Mishinai. Impossible. It's impossible for a person to see what Torah is and not believe in Mishinai. It's virtually impossible. Like a scientist saying, it's like the biggest physicist in the world is going to say that he doesn't believe in physics. I mean, it's crazy. It's impossible. So definitely, once acher definitely believes in Mishinai. The question is, so what was the sheet of Apocursus? What was the sheet of Apocursus? He's learning with Reb Meir. I mean, impossible for us to be a Talmud Chacham on the level of being Apocursus. It's virtually impossible. So the question is, what was his sheet? That's why I mean, he only had one like that. I mean, I don't think there's any account of any other Talmud Chacham being Apocursus. It's just impossible. So, so the question is, I mean, what kind of a thing is that? I mean, it's a very, very difficult thing. I mean, the one thing you see is that he couldn't tolerate the suffering of people bothered very much. I mean, he was a high level person. Most people are selfish. If they're okay, it doesn't bother them somebody else suffering. But he wasn't on that level. I mean, he is bothered him very much. Because look, Mar says that Acha saw the kid go up on a tree, and Mekayim Kibit Avayim, and Kibit Av, and Mekayim Shalach to Shalach to get the birds, and he dies. I mean, it's a mashal. I mean, whether that event took place in specific, could be that it did take place, but it's more than just that event. It means that he could not tolerate the suffering of the of good people. I mean, it bothered him very much. And in his opinion, he couldn't say that that God relates to this world. He denied that God relates. It's impossible that God relates to this world and these things should happen. That's basically all you know. It's on the surface. That's all you know. That was the main thing that bothered Acher. It's the type of thing that doesn't bother most people unless they themselves are a victim. But he wasn't a victim. But it bothered him. It bothered him very much. It disturbed him. And he could not find a solution for that. He couldn't resolve that issue. He couldn't resolve the issue of Schar Onesh. So where did that... So he couldn't resolve the issue.
Right.
I mean, so that's why he gave up mitzvahs. I mean, difficult to understand. It's very difficult to understand. Very difficult to understand.
We have the other chazal also that Arba Nefesh Tevapadeh.
That's correct. I mean, there's no question about it. Yeah, that's correct. You're right. I mean, that's correct. Once he when he started to analyze it on a metaphysical level, he couldn't find a solution.
Right.
But I mean, and my theory at present is, I mean, I'd like to investigate a little further, but the only approach that I have to it is that it meant not that he denied Tamir Sinai, never denied Tamir Sinai, but simply it reached a point as Nichtas Ulipadis, like what does I'll say, one of them went crazy psychologically, right? One of them went crazy, like one of them died, one went crazy, and Acha became an epicurus. It means to say that he became dysfunctional. I mean, the problem, he couldn't solve the problem, and he couldn't deny Torah Misinai, and he couldn't function. He couldn't function anymore. He had to, you see, people on that level have to function with ideas. Most people just function out of a different kind of a thing, either you know, some kind of base or emotional framework. A person on that level can only work on ideas, like a Navi, like Yonah. He had to run away. Why? Because Yonah was a great Navi, and he couldn't come to grips with the Dvar Hashem. He couldn't do it, so he was caught, so he ran away. It's got to be something along those lines, which means to say there wasn't, not Yonah didn't deny Nevuah. He knew Nevuah was real, so why didn't he listen? The answer is because it was impossible. It was impossible because mentally he couldn't come to grief. He couldn't come to grips with the Nevuah, and he couldn't function. So a person reaches a state where they can't function. So he took off. He ran away. That's it. Negrashti me negate necha. I can't exist this way. That's it. So he took off.
It's funny, Rambam in one of the book, him,
yeah,
talks about presumptuousness. And he says that a person is presumptuous and he jumps too fast and assumes things. He said, you'll become like Acher.
Yeah.
An interesting, yeah.
That's correct. But I think that what Acher, the underlying idea with Acher was that I don't think he had a philosophy. I don't think so. I don't think that what Acher's philosophy represented a whole new Weltanschauung. Because if that were the case, Chazal would have, would have been. It seems like he was a dysfunctional tzaddik. I mean, he's a dysfunctional chacham. In other words, he was a great chacham. And he had this problem. And once he entered the world of the Pardes, which means the world where a person is moved only by ideas and no other framework, he got caught. And he simply could not do it. How could you not do it? But you know it's true. But he became a dysfunctional type of person. And I can't go any further. This is an idea that I had. It must be along those lines.
Because
all of his power came after Misa. Yeah, it's after Misa. So you see, he wasn't a
real Russian.
He was not a Russian. He's not a Russian. But he shouldn't have entered. He wasn't ready to enter the palace. He wasn't ready to. He couldn't cope with the ideas. It was like Yonah. So he got. So he simply could not do it anymore.
Right.
Couldn't do it anymore. In other words, God placed him in a paradox in his mind. In his mind, he was placed in a paradoxical existence. And that's it. But that's only for Acher. I mean, most people, I mean, 99.99%, I mean, are not even in a position to reach such a level of epicurus.
Why did the other guy go crazy?
They have different modus operandi, but the modus operandi of a great Chacham is a different modus operandi. And in that modus operandi, he simply could not function. Yeah, go ahead.
How come the other guy went crazy? Why didn't he just...
He went crazy the same... That's what I'm saying. It's all different results of the same problem. The guy that went crazy, it means to say that his psyche couldn't tolerate the reality of the ideas. So he had to go into a psychological denial. And he wound up denying reality.
The guy that died?
In other words, his denial of the reality of the ideas spilled over to a denial of reality in general. It became like... It's like you have, like, in and certain psychological illnesses, that there's one root cause for a certain type of a symptom, but then the symptom spills over and starts expressing itself in other areas as well. So that's what happened with the one that went crazy. I mean, obviously he couldn't. He started to go into a state of denial of his mind, and then it affected everything. He went into total denial of all reality. Went crazy. And the one that died is simply it was too powerful and too gripping. He could not cope with it. He just couldn't go on. So an acher became dysfunctional. I mean, but it's all, in my opinion, it's all the result of the same kind of a conflict. They were caught in tremendous conflict. But Rabbi Akiva was the only one that was nichnas b'shalom and yatzah b'shalom. It means that he was on a level that he could accept the reality. Didn't bother.
One man who ever was that way.
Well, not that, but
I mean,
What?
Nothing.
Yeah, very often things break down in four categories. Like Rambam always have four categories of this or that. For possibility.
What?
Very often things break down into exactly four possibilities, as you can see in the Rambam.
Yep.
You take another question now?
Yeah, you know what's interesting about Mizna Shiliyama Shabbat, you mentioned that, anything.
Yeah.
We have a nusach that says in Shacharis, on Shabbat, it says, V'yom ha-shvi mishabeach v'omer Mizna Shiliyama Shabbat. Very amazing nusach. What does it mean? V'yom ha-shvi mishabeach v'omer Mizna Shiliyama Shabbat. You know what that is, right? It's written in a Kol Yeducha, in the beginning, right? A male earth. Right? What comes before that? Yeah, I can hear you louder.
Yeah, it starts from right after Kela, then you have Lekel Shabbat, we call Matzim, Bayam Betri, Salami Shabbat.
Oh, Lekel Shabbat, I'm sorry, it was Lekel Shabbat, right.
Yeah.
What does it say, go ahead?
First of all, the Yom Hamdecha, and the Yom HaShabbat,
Zeshvach, Shal Yom HaShvi, what's it say?
Shabbat Shabbat Kel Mikol Malachto.
Shabbat Shabbat Kel Mikol Malachto.
You want to go on? Yom HaShvi, Mishbech Vomer, Mishmashir, Yom HaShabbat.
Kel Baruch Hu Hashem.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, so it's a strange kind of a girsa. I mean, what does it mean? Yom HaShvi, Mishbech Vomer. So there are some that wanted to correct the girsa. And they said, you shouldn't say that. What do you mean Yom HaShvi, Mishbech Vomer? It's kind of like, it's almost like an animistic kind of thing. I mean, we're saying, I'm not using the right word, but you're ascribing a...
personifying the day.
Personifying the day, yeah. So, animistic would mean if it's an animal, right? I mean, if you're taking a stone and making it into an animal. But that type of thing. So some said that you should change the gears. That you should say, V'yom HaShvi Meshubach Ba'omer Mizmashil Yom HaShabbos. You know? The Yom HaShvi, the Yom HaShvi Meshubach Ba'omer Mizmashil Yom HaShabbos. The seventh day is praised with the statement Meshubach Ba'omer Mizmashil Yom HaShabbos, that you say a shir to the Yom HaShabbos. Okay. So I checked around a lot of them. I couldn't find that girsa. I mean, most of them have. Even the Talmud has V'yom HaShvi Meshabeach V'Omer Mizmashir V'yom HaShabbos. So, of course, the question is, what exactly does it mean when you say Mizmashir Yom HaShabbos? Are you saying a Mizmashir to the Yom HaShabbos? Or are you saying this is the Shir of the Yom HaShabbos? You know what I mean? The Yom HaShvim HaShabbach V'Omer Mizmashir Yom HaShabbos. Right? In other words, like it says, Mizmashir, it is a Shir for the Yom HaShabbos, like Mizmah, like Mizmah with David. David's Mizmah. Here's the Yom HaShvim's Mizmah. You see? But apparently that's the gist that we have, that's what it means. It means that the Yom HaShvi is Mishabeach. Okay, so let's say we say that way, that the Yom HaShvi is Mishabeach. I mean, say it's Derech Moshel, fine. So I understand where it says the beginning. Tov lo tov Hashem, lagabach but the, where it says, Yishbar le'yedoch, sula yavon how's that? Okay? So, I understand that the Yom HaShvi would be appropriate to say that the Yom HaShvi is Mishabeach God, so to speak, for his infinite Chachma. Okay, what does it say? It says, go again. That makes sense. Because Shabbos was the day in which a total harmony came into the universe. There were different systems, and then the harmony came in Yom HaShabbos. So that's very good. So that's... So I understand it. But the but then it goes on into Ashgacha. By the way, that's really what it says. That's what we mentioned before. It says, that's what it means. It means to say that a fool can't understand that, because a fool's only going to look at the superficial things. And he's going to take a look and say, hey, this guy, look at Rockefeller, he's a Russia murderer, and he's living to his 90s. That's it. So you see there, that the Frosh and Kumayesev by Tzitzko Balevim Yishamdam Adayah, that really they're going to their own destruction. That takes a bekacham to look into their lives and see that they're going to their destruction and it's a worthless existence. That takes a bekacham. But the it's like we mentioned before. But the thing is, what does it have to do with Yom HaShabbos? That's what bothers me. According to our Gersa, why is Yom HaShabbos being Mishabeach about all these things, the first thing he says, "Well, Hashem doesn't have to remember. Can he ever Hashem? Can he ever Yevedu? He's part of the poly oven, right? But I'm carrying Kani, but let's have Hashem run on. But I bet they need to be sure. Come on, I'm ready to run on those nights. I'll take a time of Yifrach. What is this got to do with Yom HaShabbos? You know what I mean? Should have stopped in the beginning over there. He's not standing Hashem before Lacha. Masi Decha Arane. Magal Basech Hashem Barak Moshetra. That part is appropriate. Right? So apparently, it would seem, if our guess is correct, that the Yom HaShabbos is really represents two things. The Yom HaShabbos is all, it really represents the creation. That's my Golem HaSech HaShem Adam Kamash HaSech HaShem. But also represents a certain personality. Also represents a certain personality. That the whole idea of Shabbos really is that the individual is converted into a different kind of creature. Different type of person. The whole week is Sheshes Yimei Amasa, and Shabbos is really what he exists for. And in Shabbos, the individual really becomes a total tzaddik. He lives the life of a that's the whole purpose of Shabbos. So therefore, the Yom HaShvi Mishabeach VaOmer, because the Yom HaShvi really makes the person into the perfected person. On that Yom HaShvi, so then you could say all these things that David HaMelech says about the Rishayim, because and the Tzaddik is protected from the Russia. Ultimately, the Russia can't really damage him. You see, and on the contrary, he goes leaving himself. So that really is that's why it's tied into the Mizmashir Yom HaShabbos. If you look at Tillim, it's always two levels, always practically all of them. I mean, if you look through the, like the halukas, always two levels, the creation and then the ashgacha. All the time. Right? Alush Meshmanim and Magid Raliyakh, always both. Because it's from the same source, and the source, Magal Mashiach, Mam Secha Shem, Marum Kmach Shosecha, Ish Ba La Yeda, Uchsil Yavin, as those, what? Befra Choshan Kamei, so it's the Kabbalah and Nisham the Madeyat. It always ties both together. It's an interesting thing. Dor Malch always does that. He ties them both together. The beauty and the Chachma of the creation, and then the Ashgacha. And then the Ashgacha of the, of Kal Yisrael and the Yachid and the Tzadik. It's an amazing thing. To him, there's no gap between those two things. They're just like one is real, the other one is just as real. It's an amazing, parallelism. He always has a parallelism. Oh, you take a look at the Tilling, you see, practically all the time it's there. So basically that's what I'm saying about the Yom HaShabbos. It's giving that parallelism. Yom HaShvi Meshabeach V'Omer, Shabbos is Meshabeach, and it says, Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbos, this is the Shir of Yom HaShabbos. On the one hand, Shabbos is Shabbos talks about the Magal Masecha Hashem Aram Chumach Masecha, and also Shabbos talks about, the Yom HaShabbos talks about the personalities that the Yom HaShabbos creates and produces, and the type of existence they have vis-a-vis the Rishayim.
You also have a question from Kish Levana, though. Yeah, many times you have Sasim Smechum or Sasim Son Konam. You know, you talk about a non-animate object as if it's doing something that a person would do or say.
Excuse me?
You have many times where you have a static object sonified in order to get an idea across that it's giving a certain reflection of praise to the Creator. Question in
yeah, but the question is, in Yom HaShabbos, how could Yom HaShabbos give a praise about Tzadikim? That was my question. But the answer is, because the Yom HaShabbos produces the Tzadikim. So it's a tie-in of God's Chachma in the universe and God's Hashgacha, which is God's Chachma so far as man is concerned.
Ready?
Yeah.
I had a question about Marshall's question, kind of.
About what?
About what Marshall is saying. For example, it says, Sasim is making lots of Ratzon Konam, right? About the luminaries, about the
yeah.
Stuff. Rambam held that was the Mamish, because they had some kind of existence, soul or whatever it is.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I think Rambam held that stars and other planets have some kind of soul.
Yeah.
That, right?
Right.
So when we see it in the pasuk, let's say David HaMelech is talking about it, could we assume it's the same idea, or we have to go by the knowledge that we have nowadays that they are inanimate objects?
Yeah, there's no question that, I mean, the Rambam really says, even though the Rambam did accept that was Aristotle's theory, but the Rambam makes it clear that Aristotle's theory of the planets having life is not an animistic theory. It has nothing to do with animism. As a matter of fact, what Aristotle conceived of them having life is a very abstract kind of life, a different kind of a life. It wasn't like a projection onto the heavens of emotions. It was based on certain facts that he saw, and he thought there must be a certain kind of existence of a different type. But the Rambam accepted it in one place, in a few places actually. He did accept it. But in another place in the Mora, he says you can't be sure. He says in the Mora, he says no one really knows, has really accurate knowledge of what the heavens are all about. He says we only have a few mathematical calculations, and you know how far you can go with that. So the Rambam is a funny thing. The Rambam sometimes accepts the theory because of the fact that given the information, it is the most probable theory. But at the same time, he had doubts about it. He wasn't 100% sure about it. So if the Rambam would see the advance of science that we have today, there is no doubt that he would abandon his theory, just like he says that a lot of the theories in astronomy that existed before his time were abandoned because he says astronomy has advanced a lot since the times of Aristotle. And the advances that we've made since the Rambam are far, far greater than the advances that were made from the time of Aristotle till the Rambam. So there's no question about it that if the Rambam were here today, he definitely would not accept Aristotle's theory. And even then, he says it is conjecture. That's what he says. It's conjecture. But a chacham has to make decisions, conclusions, based upon the knowledge that's available to him. But he knew that that knowledge was not definite knowledge. But there's no question that, I mean, today, when you say sasim u'smechem asosetan konam, it does not mean in a literal sense. Just like when you say yalucha d'shem u'lekeinu kol ma'asecha, and that's the Rambam's gifle. Yalucha d'shem u'lekeinu kol ma'asecha. It doesn't mean kol ma'asecha. It means what? Every stone is going to be meshaveach. I mean, it doesn't mean. It's stated in a in an allegorical fashion, and that's basically the way we have to understand it.
So we have to assume that the pasuk is going according to the correct theory. You can't say David held by that theory, and that's why he wrote the pasuk.
No, you know that you cannot say because the pasuk is written with the Ruach Kodesh, means level of nevuah. Pasuk can't be wrong.
You said before Ruach HaKodesh doesn't always have to be precise because you have Machlokas, Rashi, and Rambam.
Even
by Ruach.
No, that's a different Ruach HaKodesh. Right here, when we say this, it means it's this Ruach HaKodesh could be referenced to different things. But Ruach HaKodesh is the level of Nevuah. And the Ksuvma written with Ruach HaKodesh means there cannot be anything false there.
Okay.
Can't be anything false there. Even, can't be anything false there, even though, I mean, there are certain Chazal that have to be understood in that context, because like Chazal say Bikshu Lignos Sefer Yecheskel. So Yecheskel is a great Navi, and a Navi, whatever Dvar Hashem, is neatly kasev. So he wrote it down, he had a right to write it down, and we know it was a Navi. But nevertheless, Chazal saw certain things that are to contradict Taras Moshe, and they're about to put it aside until they were able to work it out. So, I mean, there's an area that requires some, you know, some more analysis. But basically, the Pesukim has to be interpreted. I mean, take a look at the Pesukim themselves, lend themselves to that kind of interpretation. I know the Rambam disagrees with it, but the Pesukim themselves still lend themselves to that interpretation. Like, what does it say? It says about how by the sunrise. What does it say? It says, Yosis, with, Yosis Kigiba Loritz Orach. Right, who kachosin yotzei mechuposo? Right, the sun is like a chosin yotzei mechuposo. Yosef kigiba loritzorach, isn't that correct?
Yeah.
Right. That's a mashal. I mean, it's obviously a mashal. Obviously a mashal. But the I mean, the fact that there's mishalim in the in Tanakh is no surprise. I mean, that's all over the place.
Right.
All over the place.
So just you were saying before that the in the Kehilat Shoshos with Olam Masim, in that Tehillah, it was talking. Your question was when it says Mizrshul Yom Shabbos, that the day of Shabbos itself would be Mishabeach Omer.
Right.
So the question was not how the day could do it. The question was why it was being Mishabeach Adam.
The question. Well, I said some changed the gears.
Right.
They didn't want to tolerate the Yom. They didn't want to tolerate that the Yom Hashvi is Mishabeach. What do you mean? What do you mean? The day is Mishabeach. So they said the Yom HaShvi, they said the right way to say it, the Yom HaShvi Meshubach Ba'omer.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they did. But I said, I mean, I checked around all the Neschos. I'm not saying, which one's correct, but I mean, so many Neschos that say the way we have it, the Yom HaShvi Meshubach Ba'omer, that it must be some basis to it. It must make some kind of sense. So they learned, Mizmashil, the Yom HaShabbos is like Mizmal Adovet, that is the Shir of the Yom HaShabbos. I wanted to explain it, you know, the Yom HaShabbos, how it's tying in the Yom HaShabbos on two levels.
Mm-hmm.
Benegeah to the universe and Benegeah to Adam. That Shabbos itself takes pride in the fact, so to speak, that it's responsible for the tzaddik and his existence vis-a-vis the Russia. That's what it means. That Shabbos is an unbelievable thing. So the Yeshua is trying to tell you that whole thing. The Yeshua is trying to show you the value of Shabbos, the greatness of Shabbos, what a vehicle it is. That's what it means. That's what it's trying to say.
So that seems very plausible. What's the big question on that?
It's plausible.
No, I don't see that. I may have missed the question then. I mean, I thought the question was that you're personifying the day, and now you're answering it by saying that you talk about you're straddling both Adam and what's it called? And the universe.
Right.
All right.
Me ask me the Ka'arila, my Ka'arila. What's my Avamia?
No. I'm just asking that. I thought your question was, I don't mean to belabor it. I just don't understand. I thought the question was, how could you take a day and make it seem like it is personified? And
that's one question. But then I said, even if you do that,
yeah,
it would seem that it would be with regard to the physical creation. But that's why I said that on the contrary, you see that the David Melech ties in these two, and they're like an unbroken continuum. God's Chachma in the universe, and it's Chachma insofar as Ashgacha is concerned. And therefore, the Yom HaShabbos is tied into those two elements.
Right.
Basically, Yom HaShabbos is really, it is a matter of creation. That's what I wanted to bring out, that other aspect. The tie between the two. There's more to be said about that, but I'm just showing you the facts.
Right. I'll review it over. I don't understand, but I'll review it later.
Okay. Well, there's another question somebody asked. I think Maxime.
Yeah?
Before, you asked another question?
No, I don't think so. I think I got it off.
Before I mention this show Yom HaShabbos, you didn't have something else there? No?
I don't think so. Don't remember.
Okay.
Thanks.
So that's it?
Taking more questions?
Yeah, you're taking more questions? There's more here.
All right, let's see.
Can you explain by the in Chumash by when Moshe was going back to Mitzrayim with his wife, so he had the whole event with the bris with the kids?
Oh, boy. That's
on one foot.
That's all right, Rabbi. We have plenty of tapes piled on the table here.
I don't have anything easier.
I got a puzzle for you in the Akremos.
Yeah.
It talks about the Arias. Then it has one pasuk about Mizrach Lo Yitain and Avila Moloch, and then it goes back to the Arias. So I was just wondering why that was couched in there.
That's a good question. I know what you're talking about there. That's a good question. Hey, where's the pasuk there?
That's Yudches Chaf Aleph.
Yudches Chaf Aleph. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah. Yep, I know. Yeah, it's a good question. It's a strange thing. If a leech needs to muscle a sick grove, and then what does that got to do with it?
It's all in one parsha, too.
That's true. Because basically it's parsha Arias.
Yeah.
Basically it's parsha Arias. I mean, all the other. Ishi shall call she'er b'sol l'sikol l'gavas erva. It goes through all the Arias, and then it goes on. V'sol l'sikol l'isha v'chol b'ima sh'mat ha'matah l'sikol l'tova. So it's an interesting thing. It's a very interesting thing. And what is that doing there? Yep. That is a good question. And all Rosh is the Vodas of Lila Misha Shma Moloch. Vazuli Avadasa Shem Moshe Bnova Kumra. Vosa Shte Maduras Gedolos Maviriness of Bain Baragla Bain Shte Maduras Aish.
The man is asking also, why is it singling out this specific aspect of what is our?
Well, the previous pasuk uses the same lashon of Nitan Zara, Leisha.
Where?
The previous pasuk uses the same lashon of Titain Zara, Shechavtecha Le...
Lo Sitain, Lo Sitain, you mean. It is true. There is some kind of parallelism. Yep.
on that question, because it's not exactly stuck in the middle, because really all the things before it are talking about if you sleep with someone else to produce certain offspring, who produce offspring, right?
Right.
But the next two psukim have nothing to do with producing offspring. They're just if there's a homosexual relationship or if you sleep with an animal.
That's correct. That's true.
Produce offspring is all of that. So maybe somehow Mizarcha looks down like Elmoch is a result of, maybe somehow that is a result of that be of Esther. Well, I don't know. But I'm just saying, it's not really stuck in the middle, and it goes back, it's not going back to the original topic, because there's definitely a difference between everything afterwards and everything before it.
Well, it's definitely a vote of Zara as opposed to a riot.
Why this particular one? Rabbi Menzeskin, why this particular one?
Yeah.
I would say, perhaps. I mean, I'm just thinking
the second one.
But I would say perhaps what the Torah is trying to do over here is the Torah is trying to say that, trying to equate the two. Why? Because the Torah is trying to say that it is not, the system of Arias is not a taboo system, but it's based on rationality. That rationally, if a person does not have these controls of the sexual instinct, then a man cannot live a life of a human being, of another. In other words, that removing these sexual prohibitions would remove man from living the life of the Tzelem Elokim. And it's not because of any kind of a taboo system of incest, which Goyim has. See, I mean, which Goyim have too. I mean, the world has systems of taboo, incestuous relationships. But Yahadis is pointing out that that's not what it is. Because that's why it says, and I would say that's why Lo Sitein and Lo Sitein, Mizarcha Lo Sitein Lahavi Lamolach, means there's no difference. If a person gives over his son to two Komrim, that's why the answer to a man's question, why he uses that case of Moloch. Because certain avodas are activities are abominable and despicable, and like the Rambam says in the Mor Nevuchim, those things he'll say also it's a kind of disgust thing. But just to give your son to two priests to just pass him through a fire is not an abominable thing, not something that's a disgusting practice of a lot of Zohar. A lot of practices they have are disgusting. But this one does not evoke any disgust. It's simply a kind of a ceremony. You have a nice fire there, and you give it to the priests, and they go through the fire. So what's the big deal, like Rashi says? I mean, yeah, like some kind of nice little ceremony there. So the Torah is saying that they're both equal in terms of removing the Tzelem Elokim from man. That once a person has, either a person has those notions of Avodah Zarah, caters to those fantasy notions in his mind, he's removed from Tzelem Elokim, or if the energies of the individual are directed to the totally sexually instinctual, he's equally removed from the life of the Tzelem Elokim. So the Torah is trying to point out that these things are not really taboos. And there's another proof of that, because, for instance, in the next pasuk, Vezachar lo tishkav mishkav isha to evahi, that's an abomination. So that's why some people say, you see, the Torah considers it disgusting. But it's not true, because the Torah used the word to'eva mostly by Avodah Zarah. And not only by Avodah Zarah, but by Ivus Mishpat. The Pasuk says, or the Pasuk say, that Eifa Tzedek, Hin Tzedek Yiloch, and he shouldn't do Ovel, Kisov Asad Hashem Kol Osei Eila, Kol Osei Ovel. And that means being corrupt in judgment. So that has to do with justice, corruption of justice. So corruption of justice is to'eva, homosexuality is to'eva, and Avodah Zarah is Toeva. So you see, the word Toeva cannot be associated with any kind of emotional reaction. It means an evil. It means a person that does, it means it's an abomination before God, so to speak. It's an abomination. And any one of those things are equally abominable. Okay? So I think that's why the Torah puts that over here. And in that same way, like somebody mentioned, I forgot another word to mention, Lositan. To show you that it's both the same. This is not an incestuous taboo system. You see, it's a system that's based on rationality and chokhmah, and it's just as bad to perform a seemingly harmless ceremony of Avodah Zarah, which is not disgusting, and what do you call it? And it's equally detrimental to the life of the Tzelem HaLakim. And that would fit in good with the next pasuk too. You shouldn't think Vesachos is Toeva. What do you mean is disgusting? That playing things in sex is disgusting. I mean, heterosexual sex, Chazal mentioned, is a disgusting thing. So the disgust is not what the Torah is really legislating against. Okay, and then the disgust has to do with the life of the Tzelem HaLakim, and therefore it puts in Moloch to show you that. This is just a bit. There's no difference, basically. And the purpose is that the person, as the purpose is lo sechal lo shem ala kech ani Hashem. That's the purpose. The person shouldn't be machal shem Hashem, which means to say that he's completely removed from God. So that's the purpose. The purpose is because the person has to be kadosh, kadosh ani. And the opposite is to be chilul shem Hashem. So that's exactly what the pasuk is saying, really. That the purpose of all these things is simply l'sechal l'shem alakecha, but not because there's anything special about the sexual area that's disgusting or whatever. And that's why it's like behema mikolben l'shem l'shchasa tamava l'ruva is the tefilu. All these things, the Torah is using expressions, but the whole idea is that so it's appropriately where the Torah put it, in order to show you that this is the real reason for these mitzvahs, not because of any emotional kind of a reaction.
Sure
for the question. Good question. Okay.
What about those who hold that the Molech is when they actually burn the child? I think they're on bottles that way.
I know. I'm going to this chest. I know. It's a machlekes. Whether the Molech was, then it's different. Then I have to think about it more. But according to Rashi, it's really perfect. And Lo Sitein Zui Mesiras
Lekamra. The Rambam holds that way too.
Ramos away to. All right, look, we're in good company, man. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Travis.
Ask him.
Rebbe?
Yeah.
Are you back in time for Sunday's year?
No.
Are you going to be...
You want to do over the phone?
If I have something.
Okay.
We'll call
Yeah, okay.
Okay, we'll call Saturday night.
Okay, good.
Good job.
Have a good job.
Okay, thanks. Okay, good job.